idea loco. Dollar said defense in a poo. Her body language enticing. Super simple and bigger icing. Now that you got my attention, Momo 20, kona ima question. What makes you think you can handle me? Cause faster the reply card it twisted. Na kesi waka tuntulu ifa tough. Ya pasa tu tuntulu but I doubt if you'll ask a poco.
Our FM, we are Lusaka's number one. 91.3 FM.
The Power FM Lifetime News is brought to you by the National Pension Scheme Authority, NAPSA.
Bringing you hot off the press news from Lusaka, Arkabwe, Livingstone, and Copperbelt News Bureau. The Power FM News.
Stakeholders from Environment Sphere, Judiciary and International Partners have convened a crucial dialogue in Lusaka to explore the possibility of establishing an environmental court in Zambia. NGOCC has noted that foreign aid cuts risk derailing women's progress in Zambia. Russia's Rosatom launches pilot uranium processing plant in Tanzania. In sports news, McCarthy makes changes to Harambee Stars squad ahead of DRC clash.
And now, the Power FM News.
Upfront and reliable news every day. My name is Suilanji Molenga. The Center for Environmental Justice, CEJ, in collaboration with government, cooperating partners and stakeholders in the environment sphere, have convened a crucial dialogue in Lusaka to explore the possibility of establishing an environmental court in Zambia. The initiative, supported by the European Union, follows up on the Environmental Protection Dialogue 2024 resolutions, specifically Section 1, Subsection 3. Today's discussion will determine and inform if indeed Zambia needs such a court. CEJ believes an environmental court could provide a specialized platform for addressing environmental issues, ensuring that cases are handled with the necessary expertise and sensitivity. In the meantime, a legal mind on matters of public interest, working at the intersection of environmental justice and the law, Malisa Batakati firmly believes that the establishment of environmental courts in Zambia is not only urgent, but achievable. He notes that despite the current judicial system being robust in many areas, the system lacks specialized capacity to effectively adjudicate complex environmental matters, especially on cases that require not just legal acumen, but also a sound understanding of science, ecology, and indigenous rights. He notes with concern how communities affected by pollution, deforestation, and unsustainable mining struggles to access timely and effective remedies. In a separate development, opposition economic freedom fighter EFF leader Kasonde Mwenda has highlighted that the disparity between the 2024 Auditor General's report and the Financial Intelligence Center report continues to underplay the real face of corruption in the country. Speaking when he featured on the political podcast on Power FM yesterday, Mr. Mwenda said the claim suggesting that corruption has reduced while the amount lost due to financial fraud has increased is a serious mismatch. The opposition leader says the United Party for National Development, UPND government, has no integrity and capacity to report real corruption. He, however, questioned AG's hesitant to mention individuals involved in the massive corruption, citing the alleged graft at the Zambia Medicines and Medical Supplies Agency, ZAMSA, among others. Mr. Mwenda therefore accused the UPND government of promoting corruption, citing the controversial statutory instrument where he alleged that Mines Minister Paul Kabuswe gave concession on copper concentrate to a shell company.
Managed to stick out of this country $3.5 billion. We have done our research. We have got the information. There is a lot of corruption. A lot of corruption which is happening. And how that money is getting the company. Why I'm here.
Well, please, maybe I'll give you share one or two examples.
Definitely. One of our biggest problem right now, one, is that we have institutionalized theft. Stealing where the government is the chief aider, is the one which is actually helping. Ukuiba. Now we have a situation where Bakabolala, Baba Malonda, Eva Sanka Bakabolala. How do you even protect yourself? Let me be very honest. Let me take you to the numbers because numbers don't lie.
Mm-hmm.
If you check what happened just last month, we had an SI 14 that was released. This SI satisfactory instrument was signed by the Minister of Mines to give some companies the permission to sell copper concentrate. So now, what this government did is that they signed a deal to give a waiver. They don't even talk about this thing, that the government is going to allow the mines to sell copper concentrate. You know, copper concentrate, before they have purified copper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what is copper? Copper concentrate, yeah, it's quite a breakdown of ama minerals. I have ammo. Mama minerals, iron.
Yeah.
Maliwa gold, maliwa cobalt, these things. But our government signed an SI known as the SI number 47 of 2025. This SI gave a company to allow itself to buy copper concentrate from seven mining companies, Apa Lumwana, KCM, all these are our majors.
Yes.
In a separate development, the Non-Governmental Gender Organizations Coordinating Council, NGOCC, is worried over the decision by the United States to withdraw development aid from Zambia, warning that the move could disproportionately affect women and girls across the country. NGOCC Executive Director Anne Mbewe Anamela believes the reduction in support will hinder progress in critical areas such as reproductive health, education, and economic empowerment. This came to light during a one-day symposium on global geopolitical shifts themed Zambia in a Shifting World Order, Strategic Responses to Global Geopolitical Reconfiguration, organized by the Southern African Institute for Policy and Research, SAIPAR, in collaboration with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and International Cooperation, MFAIC. Ms. Anamela emphasized that the evolving landscape of global donor strategies and shifting power dynamics, marked by the growing influence of emerging actors in Africa, has created uncertainty around the future of gender-focused programs and services that long rely on foreign assistance. She highlighted the increasing fragility of Zambia's civil society sector and stressed the need for stronger support of civic engagement amid potential instability triggered by dwindling international partnerships. Ms. Anamela said civil society organizations must be positioned as vital partners in the country's development framework, tasked with helping safeguard democratic values and inclusive governance. The NGOCC executive director said the shrinking pool of financial aid from abroad demands a serious re-evaluation of conditions attached to foreign assistance, especially those that may place undue pressure on vulnerable communities. In another development, I beg your pardon, still at the same function speaking was international relations expert Ambassador Lazarus Kapambwe, who urged Zambia to adopt a more strategic approach to diplomacy, emphasizing that nations secure outcomes through negotiations and not entitlement. Ambassador Kapambwe stressed that Zambia's diplomacy must focus on squarely on advancing national interest, particularly in trade and investment, noting that global relations are driven by interests, not permanent alliances. He outlined key steps for effective diplomacy, including clearly redefining national priorities and deploying skilled negotiators rather than appointees chosen on the basis of political consideration instead of logical convenience. The expert criticized the misconception of diplomacy as mere protocol, calling for professionalized training to ensure Zambia competes effectively on the global stage. In a separate development, opposition All Parties Congress Party leader Nason Msoni has called on government to put priority on building the national strategic food reserves. Mr. Msoni says the government must act responsibly by ensuring that the national food reserves are well stocked following their decline due to excessive export of the staple food to neighboring countries. Mr. Msoni regrets about the position of government to not only target to purchase estimated 15,000 metric tons of maize during this year's crop marketing period. He adds that if statistics about bumper harvests are correct, government must effectively purchase the staple food to improve the national reserves, which he alleges were reduced with impunity by the ruling government.
The statistics that we've been given